I direct the UHERO Centre for Practical Ethics. This has a very broad ranging focus on environmental ethics, business ethics, medical ethics. But we in particular focus on the radical opportunities that the 21st century offers in terms of understanding of biology and the neurosciences, for understanding the nature of human beings and why they create the problems that they create and what the potential solutions may be in terms of understanding human behaviour. The first area that we're looking at is the ability to enhance human beings. We're familiar with this in doping in sport, and that is one of the topics which we're addressing. But more fundamentally, we're starting to understand the biological contribution to our abilities and how we perform in cognitive ways and also in our relationships. We're now able to intervene in animals to radically prolong their life two or three times. And we're starting to understand why human aging occurs. Scientists recently created a mouse that can run 5 kilometres at 20 metres a minute, whereas a normal mouse runs 200 metres. The same genetic modification could be employed with human beings. We have the same sugar cycle as the mouse that was altered by those scientists. Scientists have created a fluorescent human embryo by transferring a gene from a jellyfish. The genetic modification of human embryos and human beings is technically possible today and could radically change the way humans are. One of the important issues for the new universities of the 21st century is to bring academic research and ideas to a much wider range of audiences. There are three different curves of knowledge. The first curve is the curve that the general public understands and what is in the popular press. The second curve, which is significantly above the first curve, is what's actually happening in the academic literature and being published. And a curve which occurs even above that is the curve of what's happening that hasn't been published or what's about to happen. And in my view, scientists have and researchers have an obligation to bring that knowledge, not just from the academic literature, but from what's actually occurring and going to change the world, into popular debate and to political debate, so that we have the opportunity to reflect and think about those advances before they've already overtaken us. It's a great privilege to be able to hold a chair and to work in the University of Oxford, in my view, the greatest university in the Western world. And the reason that I say that is Oxford not only has a huge breadth, but a great depth of intellectual talent. It also has the ability to attract some of the greatest thinkers in the world. So in terms of an intellectual resource and a hub of intellectual activity, there's only a few places like it in the world. So in terms of doing good research and extending your own thoughts and ideas, it's really a fabulous place to be.